Thank you, Father. Yeah, Father of glory, God and Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory.
Amen.
We pray this evening that you may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you.
Amen.
That the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened, may know what is the hope of your calling.
Amen.
What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints?
Amen.
Yeah, we want to continue with the fellowship on Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. But this evening we want to look at this 144,000 with the matter of what we saw in verse 3, which is they sang a new song. We want to see what the song is this night. I hope we are open to know what this song is this evening.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Quickly, I'd like to read verse 5 in Revelation chapter 14. I mean, verse 3. Revelation 14, verse 3. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 444,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So, obviously, those who sang the new song were the first overcomers. These are the ones we call the first fruits unto God. And this one I like to call the special overcomers, because they were saved from the wrath the last 3.5 years. So it must have been a wonderful time for them. And so they sang this new song. It is our wish and prayer this evening and throughout the time of the conference that at the end of this conference, each one of us would desire to learn this song and to desire to sing this new song.
Amen.
Many times when we sing a song, it's usually as a result of experiences that we have. So many songs come out of the experience we go through. When something remarkable happens in our lives, we try to capture it with a song. I like to paint the picture of what happened when the children of Israel left Egypt and they were going to the promised land. A lot of things happened with Pharaoh. And when they finally left, Pharaoh felt that he had been deceived, and of course, the Egyptians didn't want to let them go because they were the ones doing the labor for them. So they chased them, and I'm trying to imagine what must have happened in the Red Sea as they were passing. And then these chariots were chasing behind them. Maybe they were going to bring them back or they were going to kill them. But when they passed the Red Sea, it was like a near-death experience. So they sang the song of Moses. And this song was out of the experience. These are people who had just escaped the Egyptian soldiers in their chariots. I like to read this song in Exodus chapter 14. Verses 30 to 15, verse 1. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus, Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So that the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Praise the Lord. It's such a wonderful experience that they just escaped death. And they could sing the song. If you have time, you can go and read the song. It was an experience. They remembered all they went through in Egypt. And they saw how God delivered them. So they sang this song unto the Lord. The psalmist, David, in Psalm 98, verse 1, he says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory." So it is very clear that we sing song when we pass through experiences. Unfortunately, today, you have to be careful what you sing. I can hardly know any song this day because most songs, they don't even have good lyrics. Maybe as a result of fear, there are so many things you have to be careful about. You don't have to speak evil of this person, or you don't have to talk about this. So most songs these days don't even have any meaning. Sometimes it's just some repeated words. But that's not the same with a song out of experience. Another example is in Revelation chapter 4, in Revelation chapter 15. In this case, that is the second rapture, the late overcomers. These ones are the ones who passed through the tribulation. And they went through the situation with the Antichrist. And obviously, most of them were martyred. And when they rose, they sang the song of Moses again. So I read again in Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 to 4. "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing in the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested." We see these two examples. In Exodus, we saw this children of Israel leaving Egypt, and the Egyptian soldiers, the chariots were chasing over them. And they sang this song when the Lord wrought victory for them. But again, we see in the sea of glass in Revelation chapter 15, those the late overcomers who had gone through the great tribulation, they also sang. Praise the Lord. But tonight we want to look at that special song sung by the 144,000. We want to spend some time to look at what probably must be the content of this song. By these special people, and this song definitely was a very special song because the Bible says it is a new song and no one knows it. Today, as we desire to be overcomers, we have a lot of experiences. And these experiences would probably culminate in the lyrics of the song we will sing. In James chapter 1, in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. It is my strong feeling that the trials we pass through today may constitute some of the lyrics of the song. And so it depends on how do we react to trials today? James says we should count it all joy. It was during the preparation of this conference that I found out the real meaning that we should count trials as joy. Why? These trials will make us complete. That is, after we have endured it, we will be complete, lacking nothing. If in every day of our life we pass through these trials and we overcome, somehow we will be writing the lyrics and the stanzas of the song we are going to sing.
Amen.
In addition to our suffering, the situations today in our daily life, what is the expression of Christ? We also see that these 144 were those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And they have the name of the Son and of the Father on their forehead. I realize that when you have a baby, what do you do first? You give the baby a name. What does it mean? The baby is yours. This is your baby. This is my son. This is my daughter. To have the Lord's name on our forehead denotes ownership. The Lord owns us. He owns us, and so we bear boldly his name in our daily life. This is our daily living. In Revelation, I like to read chapter 19, verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What is our righteous acts? It is good for us to understand the difference between righteous acts and the objective righteousness and the subjective righteousness. The righteous acts, I saw a new word, righteousnesses. The righteousnesses, that's the righteous acts of the saints. As we also saw in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." It is good to differentiate between the initial, when we come to God, God is holy. This is the objective righteousness which Christ has wrought on our behalf. So because God is too holy, we cannot come to him, not our righteous acts, because we are sinners. However, Christ has done the work for us. All we need to do is to take Christ as our righteousness. So people say we don't need to be righteous. No. For us to come to God, it's not because of our righteousness. It is because of Christ. If we take Christ, he becomes our righteousness, then we can come to God. That one is not any acts we do. We can see that one in Isaiah chapter 64. In verses 6 and 7. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away, and there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. This is who we are before we received Jesus Christ, because Christ fulfilled the righteous requirement of God. So when we take Christ, then we are born again. He becomes our righteousness. And I experience in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, I like to read that, it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So people confuse these two righteousness. This is the one we receive when we have, where we're regenerated. We have the new birth. No one has this. It is only Christ who has it. So we take Christ, then we come to Christ. We come to the Father. However, after that, we have the life of Christ that will produce righteous acts. This is our daily life. Today, we see it as enjoying and experiencing Christ as a different offering in our daily life. We now produce righteous acts. I'd like to take this further from Psalms 45. In Psalm 45, verses 13 and 14. I read, the royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. That's verse 13. This is Christ himself who will receive in regeneration. He is the only one who met the righteous requirement of the Father. So this is the clothing that we put on, because we don't have any righteousness of our own. But in verse 14, it says something else. It says, she shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. Now, I decided to look this up in another translation that brought it out a little bit clearer. Here it says, in robes of many colors. But I checked up in Darby translation, it calls it an embroidery work. The initial righteousness we have in our salvation was for us to come to the Father. But after then, we need to take the life of the Father to live a righteous life. This is how we can follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This is our day-to-day life. And in this psalm, we saw is an embroidery work. Permit me to match the two of them together. Embroidery work of many colors. This is our daily life today, that we take Christ as our life, as experience him as the different offerings in our daily life. And guess what? A robe is being formed. It's an embroidery work. My wife makes dresses in those days. She makes wedding gowns. And when it comes to the embroidery work, it takes a lot of time, because the threads are woven onto one another, but there are some machines that can produce those embroidery work, but they look very beautiful. This is the work of embroidery. This is our daily living. This is the righteous acts of the saints. It is this that will produce some of the stanzas of the song that we will sing. And these experiences are personal to each one of us. As we desire to be first fruits today, the question is, are we experiencing this embroidery work today? Is a dress being formed today? In our daily experiences, do we overcome? How many times do we overcome? We see that in the verse we read in the Psalm chapter 45, we see that the two garments represent, the first garment is a face layer, is a covering with gold, signifying Christ, our righteousness, through whom we are justified. We can also remember this in Luke chapter 15, verse 22, when the son that went away, the prodigal son, when he came back, the father put on this robe on him. This is for us to see the Father. However, the second garment is a raiment of embroidery, signifying righteousness we have gained daily by obeying Christ, who is the Spirit within us. It is the wrought work of embroidery of many colors, consisting of several days, weeks, months, years of experience of Christ. This is how the overcomers are made. I'd like to step back a bit and to try to emphasize what is our experience, what is our reaction when we pass through so many trials. This is actually what produces part of the stanzas, the lines of this song, that these overcomers, the first fruits, the first overcomers, will sing, because this is their daily experiences of Christ. And if you're a Christian and you don't have experiences, what song will you sing? Where will you get the lyrics? Our attitude to trials actually will tell us exactly how much Christ is being worked into us. Because as we saw in James, when we endure trial, when we overcome, it produces in us endurance. When endurance has its perfect work, we become complete. These are the 144, the overcomers who follow Christ today. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Why? Because they belong to him. Christ is our life. In our daily experiences, we all, by the Spirit, we hear Christ speak to us every day. The problem is, how often do we obey him? And for us to be overcomers, we need to be those who overcome. Our life should improve. We should mature. It's good to give offerings. But when our offerings are just basically trespass offerings every day, we need to grow to bring to the Father some ox, some bullock of burnt offering. We should grow and mature if we really desire to be this first fruit. This is obeying Christ in our daily lives, in our living. If we obey Christ in our daily life, in our living, something is happening, as we saw. The work of embroidery is happening. The hymn, the stanzas of the song, the different lines are being produced. Until that day when we will stand with him on Mount Zion, each one of us will sing this new song. This new song is a culmination of all the experiences of Christ. So if you don't have an experience of Christ, what song are you going to sing? This is the song that no one knows, because it's your daily experience. It is your experience of Christ day by day. We encourage everyone to bring offerings to the Father. Yes, this is a very healthy way to live and experience Christ daily. And it is our prayer that we should all mature to bring to the Father our daily experiences of Christ. Have you ever imagined if every day there are so many things to overcome? Think of the mind, what goes on in the mind. we need to overcome also in our mind. As I was going through this, I remember a lot of things that go through today, how we need to overcome daily. If we really want to sing this song to be the 144,000, to be the first fruit to the Father, how we need to have a daily walk with the Lord. How we need to overcome. I asked one of my sons, and I said, who is an overcomer? An overcomer is anyone who overcomes. Very simple.
Amen.
So how many times have you overcome this week? Last month? This is today. This embroidery work is happening. May the Lord put in us a desire in each one of us to be among this 144,000. We cannot postpone our experience. I have a deep burden for the young people. The generation is not too fair on them. You can barely exalt a young person, needless to talk about a rebuke. But Paul told Titus, speak, exalt, rebuke. Why? This is how this new song will come out. I remember one of our songs in the hymnal. He says, olive that has known no pressure, oil cannot produce. There's a slang with some of us brothers in Toronto. When something happens, the brothers say, no pressure. And sometime I made a joke. I told a brother, I need the pressure. I need the pressure so that the oil can come out. Today, if we want to be overcomers, we shouldn't shy away from the pressure. We shouldn't shy away from what our Father has given to us. Why? Because it will make us perfect. This is such a wonderful experience. These special people, I like to call them, the 144,000. They have a wonderful song to sing. And this is their daily experiences of Christ. We must take the issue about bringing offerings to the Father. How come we live 7 days and we don't have any offering for the Father? Is it possible? Then how did we follow the Lamb? He said they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. A lot of thoughts in our mind. These are the things we need to overcome. Oh, Lord Jesus. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, I read, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on the throne. There's so many things we should overcome. So many thoughts in our mind. It's a battlefield. You know, I picture Joseph in the bedroom of Potiphar. You know how he ran? For us to be these virgins, for us to be these ones, we will be among this 144. I like you to picture those in chapter 15, those who passed through the great tribulation. They were probably martyred. They passed through the great tribulation. Today there are so many sufferings. I like you to remember just the last 2 years, what happened in every part of the world you are. Our freedoms were limited, we were restricted. We tasted a little bit of suffering. But I can sense in my spirit, even the Father, it's not his wish for us to go through the great tribulation. That's why he said we should strive so that we do not pass through this. It's a terrible time to come. It is. And that is why today, day by day, we must desire to have this proper wedding garment. Finally, no one could learn the new song. I read verse 3 again in chapter 14. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. This reminds me of something Paul said to a young brother, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. And I was impressed with this. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not only to me, but to all the saints who would day by day take Christ to sew their wedding garments." I pray the Lord will impress on each one of us to desire to be among these overcomers. Therefore, this new song is apparently the rich experiences of Christ in our daily life. And the offerings are not just the trespass offering, but we need to mature to bring to the Father daily ox, bullock, as burnt offering, our rich experiences of Christ today. Today we need to be daily overcomers. You don't think there's something to overcome every day? In my experience, every minute there's something to overcome. The mind, so many things are happening. We need to overcome. He said, "As I overcame," he is already there in Mount Zion. We need to join him. We need to overcome daily so that we will be those who have the Father's name on our forehead, and so that we can have a song, a new song that no one knows. This is the various and particular experiences of each one of us. Praise the Lord.
Their mouths and pray. Do you want to be one of these 144,000? The first thing you've learned is to open your mouth. Open your mouth and pray and praise. Tell the Lord what is your desire. You go to so many places in their meeting. Everyone is just sitting there, not opening their mouths. Closing their mouths. So we need to learn to open our mouths and let what is in our heart really come out. When is that? I think my voice is loud enough, right?
No.
No.
It's a little quiet.
Oh, really?
Okay. Just need to turn it up a little.
It's really good. Don't think that if you just close your mouth, you'll be okay. We all In many other situations, we talk a lot differently. Right? I remember last night when we were at the restaurant, everybody was talking. It's so loud, and everybody was talking. I don't think anyone was quiet in there, especially the children. So we have to compete with the children to speak louder. We have a lot to talk about. Why is it when we come together, we cannot even open our mouth to say a praise to the living God? Why? Because no one trained you to do that ever since you were a Christian. Look at Ivanka. Where is Ivanka? Oh, she's up. Look, she opened her mouth. I really appreciate that. And I wish all of us would be like the little Ivanka. It's because we are too much in our mind afraid that we will say something wrong, or people might not like it, or somebody might criticize me, and we are so self-conscious. Of course, don't open your mouth to say nonsense, especially before the living God. Speak something that is genuine, real, out of your heart, what you have truly experienced of the Lord. We need to practice this. Then our spirit will come out. How can your spirit flow out if you do not open your mouth, really? The Lord did say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It flows out of your mouth. We Christians, especially when we come together, the heavenly throne up there, the 24 elders, the myriads of angels, the four living creatures, even God himself was there. His voice was like the voice of many waters, like the voice of thunders. We speak so many things in our life, and yet before God, we're all very quiet. This is not normal. We all have to learn to open our mouth and say something, praise the Lord, or do you not have anything to say to God? Do you, DJ? Not much to say to the living God. Our God is so wonderful, worthy of our praises. He has done so much for us. And yet we cannot open our mouth to praise. So we need to change, really. If you want your spirit to come out, say something to him. Open your mouth. Learn this. The spirit will come out, will be released if we open our mouth. This should be our experience. Otherwise, when you go up there, you have nothing to say, which is not good. Why is it at home when you're not very happy and you reacted, blah, 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 so many things came out of your mouth. When it comes to criticism, you know, so many things come out of our mouth. We need to be those 144,000 who are singing a new song, new experiences of Christ. So many things we have to say about him. We all need to train ourselves. I remember when I was young, going to school, I was quite talkative when I was in school. You can imagine that, I guess. But when it comes to a church meeting, to share something concerning Christ, to speak concerning the glory of God, I was tongue-tied. I remember one conference, young people's conference up there in the mountain. Our brother said he was going to give us a chance to pray, that every one of us should pray. I could not open my mouth. Very amazing. In many other things, in school, at home, it wasn't hard to open my mouth. Is it, Elizabeth, at home to open your mouth? No, of course not. But very strange in a meeting. Could not open my mouth. And so, in that particular meeting, I was struggling. I was really struggling. Couldn't open my mouth. And I had a friend that was very quiet. I knew that this friend of mine, schoolmate, he hardly talked. He really hardly talked. So I made a deal with God. I said, okay, you want me to stand up and pray? Let him do it first. And if he stood up and prayed, I will be the next. You know, as soon as I said that prayer, to my surprise, he stood up. And he started to pray. So I had to keep my promise. So I stood up and I prayed. But let me tell you, ever since that experience, I have no problem to open my mouth and pray. Something within me broke loose. The Spirit came out, changed my life. Then at the end of that conference, it was a young people conference up in the mountain. We were all given a chance to give our testimony what the Lord has done for us. New things. Like our brother said, new experience. New things. And again, the Lord told me to go in front and share my experience. And I told the Lord, I said, no, I can't do that. So again, I told the Lord, let him go first. And you know, I waited until the very end. I hope that time runs out. And then I'd have a good excuse, you know. It was not very good. And I really was hoping that too. And then the brother, the dear brother there said, well, since we still have a lot of, let us just extend the time more to really come forward and share what the Lord has done for them in this conference. And so I said, Lord, let him do it first. The same person. Once may be a coincidence, but not twice. After I said that, he stood up and he walked in. And I had to go too. And one of the main reasons why I didn't want to go is because when I went to that conference, I To my shame, I told a lie because I didn't want to be in that conference. I told her that I had toothache. I had to go back to Manila. So the older sister told me, okay, wait for a couple of more days. And if the toothache still there and troublesome, they will send you home. I said, yeah, okay, I can tolerate 2 days. That was a terrible thing. To my shame, I just graduated high school then. And I didn't want to go and give a testimony while the Lord did to me. So, but you know, after the 3 days, the Holy Spirit was poured out in that meeting. And in that meeting, for the first time in my life, I wept for my sins. I had such a deep conviction in my heart. And the Lord told me, now you go there and tell everybody what the Lord has done. I was sweating. Couldn't do it. But then I had no choice. And from that day on, praise the Lord, I have many new songs to sing. So we all have to learn. To learn. To speak out. Praise the Lord. To speak all the glorious things the Lord has done personally in your life. The more you release it, the richer will you experience the Lord in your daily living. This is what the Lord says. The more you have, the more will be given to you. But if you keep it in your heart for yourself, it doesn't come out. Because the Lord cannot give you new things and new experience. Our brother was right. We all need new experiences of Christ every day because Christ is so rich. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. You cannot exhaust in your experience of this wonderful Christ. You cannot. But you have to let it out. If a vessel is full, you cannot fill it. But if it flows out day by day, right, then the Lord can refill with new things, with new experience. But you have to have the capacities. If you don't let go, then it's not possible. You have to let go of the old, then you can have the new coming in. So empty yourself. Speak out. Pray. Our meeting should be like the meetings up there. You know what the angels would tell you, all of us? If the Lord Jesus has done such a great work to save us angels, we will have a lot of things to say eternally. How come he paid such a great price for you and all of you are so quiet? I'm not saying that you should just produce anything to say just something, no. This is why our brother is saying we need to experience the riches of Christ every day so that we can bring the best to offer up to the Father. But it seems none of God's people are doing that. All we can do is give messages in the Bible. It's easy to get a message. But what about bringing out the best of our experience, new and living every day? Our brother is right. 7 days a week? What? Within 7 days a week, you have nothing new that you experience? You should have many experiences. If you experience once a day for 6 days or 7 days, at least you have seven experiences of Christ. Am I right? And I mean genuine. Don't just grab something and say something that is not real. No. It has to be genuine, real, that changed your life. Otherwise, your life will not change. The real experience of Christ should produce a transformation in your life, change in your life. If it doesn't produce a change year after year, you remain the same. Then that is not good. No, it's not the knowledge. It is not the knowledge. Don't be a hearer. Don't be a reader. But be a doer. Be someone who lives Christ at home, even by yourself. There's a lot to overcome, our brother says. Yep. A lot. Even what you're thinking during the day, you need to overcome. To gain Christ. Paul says, I want to gain Christ. Paul is pursuing Christ. He is an example for us. He's pursuing. Pursuing Christ. What is the pursuing? It's not just doing it slowly. Oh, whenever I have time. No, you're pursuing. You take hold of every opportunity. There's so many opportunities. Trials, our brother was sharing. James was saying, not only James, Peter was saying, count it all joy. Don't think it is a strange thing to fall into various trials. No, because your faith needs to go through trials. Our brother's right using that verse. Because without trials, there's no experience. Without test, you don't know what you have learned. You think you learned something, but then you go through the test. Then you learn, you know where you stand. Without trials, it's impossible. So Peter says that trials of our faith going through fire will become more precious than gold. More precious. Don't think faith is okay. No. This faith must go through trial to be more precious, to become more precious than gold and silver, because the faith that we have received due to our fallen nature is very mixed. You just learn what you want to learn, but then you don't like to learn certain things. What is really necessary, you don't learn. This is why you didn't change. After many years, you remain the same. No, we Christians should never remain the same. It says the transformation is from glory to glory. You should not stop. You should not stop. But now you have to learn. I know it is not simple, but who could do? Nothing is simple. Is it simple to be where you are today? No, I know it's not simple, right? Because I followed a little bit your progress. Not everything, because we're in the church life. I know your parents, and I know you. You went through a lot of challenges, right? To reach that point where you are right now, isn't it? Humanly speaking, a lot of tears sometimes. Oh, yeah. But praise the Lord, you made it. Mm-hmm. And we can all make it. We can all make it by experience. Without this experience of Christ in our daily living, we cannot be part of this 144,000. That's why they can sing a new song all the way up there. The last experience, standing there with the Lamb on Mount Zion, that is the newest song that they're singing, which no one else who is not up there standing with the Lamb of Mount Zion knows how to sing that song. So you should not stop learning, because the last stanza of that song is you standing next to the Lamb on Mount Zion before the throne of God. That will be the last stanza of the song.
Last line.
So you cannot learn that if you're not there. You might think, oh, I've learned enough. Maybe Aussie can say, well, I've learned enough. No, as long as you're not there yet, that last part of the song, you have not learned until you're there. Because that is the newest, top experience. So how are you going to learn that? You're not there yet. How about that?
Start learning now.
Forget the things that are behind. You know, people like to talk about the past experience. Like what I'm sharing with you. Oh, that was about 60 years ago. That was old experience, but I'm just saying that to help you to speak out, to open your mouth. So let us learn. Let us learn. For many, many, many decades, we are all sitting in a meeting quietly. That was our old experience. Even we hardly sing, only the choir there will sing. So if you're not joining the choir, you cannot sing. You're not even qualified to sing. Can you imagine? But praise the Lord, let us learn. If your English is not good, do it in Chinese. Why not? The Lord understands, the angels understand, and many of us understand. Praise the Lord. Why not? Even in Thai. Oh, you speak English. That's fine. Right. So we all need to exercise, really. And I mean it. I mean, even many years ago in reading Revelation, I really saw a vision in there in heavens before the throne. It's not very quiet. Only in the cathedral inside it is very quiet. It's very different. And in the cemetery, it is even more quiet. But we are ready. Living throne, singing, voice of many waters, trumpeting, thunders, because the voice is very majestic. You know, when a thunder grew, right, it came down, it was really shaking, right? In your heart, you can feel it in the heart shaking when the thunder came. And the voice of many waters, glorious. You go to Niagara Falls. You see that waterfall. Wow. It's great. That is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. His voice is like the voice of many waters. But we are so many people here and no voice. My goodness, He only has one mouth, and his voice was like many words. And how many mouths do we have here?
40.
At least 40 mouths, but no noise. Let us learn. How about that? Let us learn. Practice. If we want to be the 144,000, practice. Praise the Lord. I don't think that is not an important point. No. We sang a new song, and you have to start learning it now. Otherwise, you can't learn. And by the way, whatever the Lord is doing is always new. It's always new. Nothing old. The Lord wants to put away the old, all the old cloth, the old garment. They have to be thrown away. Whatever the Lord is doing is always a new thing. Behold, in Isaiah, it says, I will do a new thing. Forget the old things. I will do a new thing. Don't you like the Lord to do a new thing with you? On the cross, the Lord removes the old man. And then in resurrection, he created what? What did he do? You see, all of us are quiet. What did the Lord bring forth?
A new man.
I think that sounds very old. This is our tradition. A new man. And this new man, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is being renewed. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. Being renewed. Day by day, not week by week, not years as once a year renewed, no, day by day. Even the new man must be constantly renewed so that
it becomes
more fresh and living like our Lord Jesus Christ. He is always new, he's never old. And then in the book of Revelation, he said, behold, I make all things new. Well, what about you? Is he making you new? I make all things new. There's so many new things. And even the Lord says, I will write my new name on your head. New name, Jerusalem. It's a new Jerusalem. Not that old one there, but a new Jerusalem. Right. So when you were baptized, your old man is crucified. When you were resurrected, it says, praise the Lord, now we walk in the newness of life. As in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7 says, and we serve in the newness of the Spirit. Everything must be fresh and new. Even the food on your table, every day is fresh, right? You like to eat things that are so old, cooked last year, put on your table. No, everything that is living must be new. This is really the principle of our spiritual life. Otherwise, we will be half dead. The church in Sardis is dead at the very end. It's dead. And the churches in Laodicea, the church in Laodicea was lukewarm. Oldness, the oldness is there. We should be like that. You want to be part of this 144,000. You have to be new and being renewed day by day, and day by day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I hope and trust that you will all pick up this burden, but it's up to you, okay? No one can force you, unless you want to remain old. Don't say, oh, I'm still young. No, you're old. You're an old young man. And I'm a young old man. I'm an old man. But don't think if you're young, you're that old. You can be as old as Adam, the old man. But praise the Lord, anyone who is living Christ will be new lived and be renewed. Like what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, be renewed in your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And put off the old, put on the new, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To be renewed. It's good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at your computer. It should be new all the time. Throw away everything that is old. Get a new thing, right? All the time. Especially spiritually. Be renewed day by day. This is one of the very important points there that is brought out in Revelation 14, and they sang a new song. Even the angels in chapter 5, they are singing a new song. Moses, the Miriam, they all sang a new song. And we should be singing a new song. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Time is up. Amen.
Yeah, I just wanted to share quickly.
Right.
Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on. Okay. With regard to the embroidered garment, I was thinking of Psalm 332, and it starts, Christ comes quickly for his bride. And then it talks about the wedding garment, and it says, by much suffering she is stitched and pressed, and righteous acts are thus possessed. And I really appreciate this matter of the stitching, because it's our daily experience of the suffering. It doesn't come without pain. And yesterday I had a garment, and my mom noticed that a thread was loose, and she told me about it, and she asked if she should stitch it. And I said, I'm really glad that you know how to do this, because if I take the needle, I'll just poke a hole in my finger. And in the same way, the Father knows exactly what he's doing with each one of us when he sends us the trials. And he knows just like how the olives need to be pressed, or the vine needs to bear this pressure in order to produce the grapes. He knows in the same way what each of us needs to go through in order for our faith to be tested and to come forth as gold. Amen.
Good. So how many pricks have you experienced?
I don't know.
This is the question. We know the doctrine, but we need the pricks, the friction. Then you have the reality. We have to go through. Without going through, no pain, no gain. Don't be afraid of suffering. This is part of our growth. This is called the growing pains. The growing. Failure is okay. Don't be afraid of failures. But you learn from it. You gain from it. You gain from it. Without going through. This is right. A brother who wrote that song went to prison for 20 years. That song was not written in vain. He sat in prison in China for 20 years. So it's not just a song that he wrote, but it's the life that he went through. We hear the message, that's fine. The message is no problem. But it's you and I going through in our daily life, at home, by yourself, at work, in the church life, that is where the reality is. So, what should I say? Not good luck, but enjoy. Enjoy. Go through it. Count it all joy. Everything is a trial, which is good. We have a song that says, so let's gain. Little by little, not big things that happen, but little things that happen in your life will expose you, will expose your condition. If it doesn't expose you, then you have not learned. But if it exposes you, it touches your very character, like, then you will change. Otherwise, the doctrines will not stand. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I just wanted to share something very quick about
my experience of what Brother John said about opening your mouth. So when I first started to join, I also didn't want to open my mouth because of my personality. But I remember the sister sharing with me that you do not quench the Holy Spirit. So if the Spirit tells you to pray or to speak and you continue to quench it, the sister said, eventually the Lord is going to take away the spirit from me. So from then on, I started to be obedient.
The spirit will not be taken away from you, but you will become insensitive to the spirit. He will never leave you. But you will be insensitive. The more you quench it, the more you become insensitive to his spirit, to his speaking. But he will not do, he will be grieved. That's why it also says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Okay, that is good. He's still in you, right? Amen. Amen. Any more? Praise the Lord. Okay. Tomorrow, you still have chances.